Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, along with Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McKellen. Hey, want to let you know, programming note, GOP Senate candidate Eric Adlin is going to be on the show at 3:30, joining us on Zoom, taking questions, calls, comments, et cetera, so stick around for that. And if you've got something you want to ask him, you can go ahead and do that. Meanwhile, though, today, welcome, happy Monday.
Monday.
I can't believe every day we open the advent calendar and it's like, that's getting closer and closer. Want to talk about Polis, Chris Wallace. Of course, here, this David Kaplan has a funny tweet. What's the difference between CNN and the Titanic? The Titanic had all of its anchors, still had all of its anchors when it sank. So that's kind of funny. We've got Polis to talk about. Apparently a little bit of trouble with the video that we sent. I think it's Colorado Public Radio sabotaging us. But the Chris Wallace situation, a new ABC poll. The news just keeps getting worse for Joe Biden. He keeps trying to tell us it's our fault, inflation. Well, first he tried to tell us that inflation wasn't a problem.
Right.
Then he tried to tell us it's
transitory.
It's transitory. Then it was COVID's fault. And now it's not COVID's fault. It's our fault. Mm-hmm. Now we have to lower our expectations. Nobody seemed to like those. So it's just getting worse and worse.
Biden does seem to be politically tone deaf. He just, whether he's trying to gaslight everybody on the draw from
Afghanistan.
I mean, it's like if John F. Kennedy got on saying, well, that beach party I planned in Cuba didn't quite work out, but actually it's tremendous success. We've got everybody got rounded up and are in prison now.
Well, you know, I saw somebody also too, some columnist was comparing it to, you know, like fake wrestling, right? I mean, people, you know, the wrestling is fake. You kind of watch it anyway, but you're not going to actually put money on it, right? Mm-hmm. It's maybe entertaining and you don't make a big deal. I mean, that's what the government
is
now.
I put money on
who's
going to win?
But we'll talk and hopefully we'll get some sound. And Thomas, hey, just let us know if that sound works. So Governor Polis, and I was promoting this saying, what the heck? What's really going on with Governor Polis? If you haven't been paying attention, or if you hadn't noticed, if you were like had a life or something, on Friday, Governor Polis did an interview with Colorado Public Radio. Now, it was clearly a setup interview, right? They didn't run into him at an event or something like that. It was clearly a setup interview. My question is, how set up was it?
Very set up.
I believe very set up too. And if you have time, you can go to Colorado Public Radio. The actual COVID part of it is only about 6 minutes long, and I encourage you to listen to it. But since we don't have the video audio, I'm gonna tell you what he said, okay? And then we're gonna kind of dissect that, and feel free to weigh in on the comments, or if you wanna call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, or go ahead and unmute yourself if you're there on Zoom. So what Governor Polis said was that the COVID emergency is over. He flat out said that the emergency is over. Therefore, he's not going to issue any kind of statewide mask mandate because we don't need a statewide mask mandate. He said it was one thing when we were in an emergency, and we'll get into how he played that for a while. But now the emergency is over. And then he went further because a reporter was kind of questioning him. And again, I don't know how much of it was set up or not set up, but the reporter pushed him a little bit on that. And he said, well, what about some of these healthcare workers who were calling for it? And the governor said that healthcare officials would have us in masks all the time because they prevent colds or they can be effective against colds and things like that. But he basically said, people have the vaccine now. If they want to get the vaccine, they can get the vaccine. If they don't want to get it, they're not going to.
What did he say to the thing that even if you had a vaccine, somebody who is unvaccinated could give you COVID because the vaccine doesn't work.
He didn't get into that. What he simply said is the COVID emergency is over. I'm not going to issue a statewide mask mandate or any other kind of mandate because, again, the emergency is over.
I wonder if he gave up all his powers. Did he?
I think he did. I think, well, some of them at least. He still has... maybe some magic wand wave. But then he went on to say, which is interesting, he went on to say that not only do we not need the mandate anymore because people can get vaccinated if they want, a lot of people are vaccinated. He went on to say that it's not the government / health department's job to be telling people, in his exact quote was, what to wear. And then he went on to use the example, for instance, if it's really cold outside and you go outside without a coat and you get frostbite, he said, that's your own darn fault. We don't tell you that you have to wear it.
But he's not addressing the one thing, saying unvaccinated people give it to other unvaccinated people and unvaccinated people could give it to.
He didn't get into the pros and cons of any of that, which was smart on his part, I think. But what he said, and there was no also waffling about whether usually when he said stuff like, I'm not going to do a state mandate, he says things like, because, you know, that should be best handled on a local level. He didn't say that. He said, it's not the government's job and the health department's job to tell people what to wear since the emergency is over. Now, his office later must have had some pushback because they sent a little statement out saying, okay, if local officials want to impose mask mandates, they can. But there's no reason to. So ask yourself, what's going on here? It was at like November 20th, 22nd, when Polis was holding news conferences right before Thanksgiving, telling us all that hospitalizations were going up, not of COVID people, mind you, but just hospitalizations were going up. There were cases were going up. And all of a sudden, as a result of that information, all of the cities, except for the freedom loving Douglas County folks, said, okay, mask mandates, right?
Yeah. Actually, if you go statewide, it's just Pitkin, wherever the ski resort blue are, but all the rest of it. But so there are various. So Democratic counties, highly Democratic counties, all went for a mask mandate and still have a mask mandate of various sorts. But all the Republicans ones don't. But it's an amazing about face.
It is a complete, but again, as Casper Stockham was tweeting, yeah, but we know what you did last summer. He said, we aren't going to forget that. But so I'm asking myself, what is Polis? I mean, there's a reason I think that all the local health officials wanted Polis to issue a statewide mask mandate. And that's because everyone hates them. They're very unpopular. Nobody likes them. And the health officials are over, let's blame it on Polis. And Polis turned around and he smacked them down. I mean, I look at that as a health department smackdown saying, not going to do it. And guess what? You don't need to be doing it either. Now, what has changed in the 2.5 weeks? I mean, I think we're theoretically still waiting to all die from getting together with our loved ones over Thanksgiving,
That's right.
Now that doesn't happen. I submit to you what's happened is he's taking a look at the numbers and taking the temperature in the community, something the Biden administration is completely, for whatever reason, not doing, and realizes people don't like the mask mandates, right? They don't work.
Some people don't like
the mask mandates. The people who like the masks, they're also annoyed because everyone else is ignoring it, right?
I think it was a brilliant. I mean, he looked at Kamala Harris. He looked at Newsom. He looked at all the whole thing and said, where do I do my sister soldier moment? Which, if you don't remember, Sister Soldier is a rap singer who came out with a very anti-white message. And then he trashed her. And that got him popular with kind of conservatives and everyone else. So this is considered a sister soldier moment. I mean, to tell everybody the emergency is over, you don't have to wear a mask. I mean, he was hardly the king of no mask.
Oh, no, as of 2 weeks ago. Well, this from Sandra, maybe the Trump curse is working. Not my words. Those are from Dr. Matt Dunn. I told him I was going to steal them. Well, I think that's what's happening. I think that Jared Polis wants to run for president. I think, and he's laying the groundwork. He looks, everybody hates Biden more than Biden. They hate Kamala Harris. The only person out there even remotely expressing interest is Pete Buttigieg, and he's a complete idiot, right? He's not going to win. And if you're Jared Polis, I think he's looking at this and he's like, okay, these mask mandates, people don't like them. People aren't complying with it. It's a loser, right? But why not declare, which we've been saying for a while, we wish the Biden administration would do, it just declare COVID over. We're on, hooray, we're over. No more masks. If you want to wear them, you can, of course. And you should still get a vaccine and a booster shot. He pushed those because that's a big pharma thing, right?
Yeah.
We'll be contributing to his campaign. I think he took a look at that and he said, people hate mask mandates. I'm not going to keep, you know, fighting against
I think he figured, look, the people, the Democrats are going to vote for me anyway.
Right.
Republicans will like this. This will make national news.
It did.
And it allow me to have us a presence on a national stage and have people kind of go, well, here's
yeah, that's right. I like that, yeah. Jared Polis. Because he kind of.
Wait till you get him.
That's what I was going to say. We in Colorado should send out the alarm. Do not be fooled. Jared Polis, who's one of the most progressive guys out there, who doesn't pay his own taxes, but is imposing in his budget all kinds of money.
As many as he can on us.
Fees on us, right? Has somehow maintained the illusion of being a pro-business governor, right?
Well, killing oil and gas.
Not only that, you look at, the guys at the Independence Institute, Ben Murray had that study where they show that under Polis's COVID mandates.
Yeah, we lost 43% of our small businesses.
43% of small business. Meanwhile, he and all of his cronies, big corporations, the Fortune 500 people got 63% wealthier. So when you look at that, I think that is initially I thought, did he make a mistake there? And then I watch as it spread. And I guarantee you CPR, Colorado Public Radio, does not have that massive a following. I mean, that did not spread nationally organically. And he's getting good press from the conservative media, not very much press at all from the other media.
Right.
But as you said, he doesn't care about them. Yeah. They're going to vote for him anyway. I think this was a smart, although scary smart, sort of move on Jared Polis to get himself some national attention, have people say, well, that Colorado governor, he's pretty reasonable, really.
And if Michael Bennett ever had any brains, and he does have brains, so I shouldn't say he doesn't have any brains, but had anything, he would have had his own moments in which he came out against the Build Back Better or something else to get him national recognition in Colorado, thinking, well, he's both ways, but I suppose he doesn't think he needs to.
I just think he needs to. Exactly. This is from Leo. Really, they got bigger than big businesses. I just thought Amazon drivers always got lost in my neighborhood. Well, yeah, and we won't even get into the whole tornado thing. So I think, though, but keep in mind, I mean, in Colorado, we need to continue to get the word out there that under Jared Polis, he's not pro-business. He's not conservative. He's not fair-minded.
He's paying any taxes, but
right.
He wants you to pay
he's
all his taxes.
Just clever. And you were saying, why do we think he's smart? And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how smart he is.
Well,
so
I want to look up if there's any indication that he's smart. He went to Princeton University and they've got, he wouldn't be in an affirmative action one. So he obviously does have a good IQ. I've always found him to be a repulsive little character, but
strategy wise, I think he's pretty darn clever. Look at how he got himself elected, the offices he set up, doing exactly what George Anthonisopoulos said Republicans could do. And now this, and I think this was really smart because this is my observation of the mask mandate. I know I have not been following it. And I go places, for the most part, I'll clarify that. Some places when they tell me to, if I really need to get into the grocery store, I do. But a lot of places I'm not wearing it. I notice a lot of other people are not wearing their masks. And the difference is nobody's saying anything. The businesses don't say anything. Other people aren't saying anything. And in fact, I've seen other people, when you walk in without a mask, they take theirs off, right? I think people get that as a Polis, I mean, one could argue there never really was the emergency, but people get whatever emergency there may or may not have been, it's certainly over by now. And I think he was wise to say, it was very brilliant. I think you're right. And in the meantime, he's cut the feet out or the knees out from under the Tri-County Health Department, the Jefferson Health Department.
They don't care. They're happy to do it anyway, but it does make him look ridiculous.
Well, when he says, hey, the health department, literally, he said the health department would have us all wearing masks for all the time anyway, acknowledging that, right? And if you're the health department, you're like, wait a minute, you're the one who was telling us about all these hospitalizations. And again, that was just less than 3 weeks ago. Nothing really changed there, I think, except for polling.
I think he was trying to figure out how to make a national impact. How do I put myself on the national stage? And he did. I mean, that's he absolutely did.
Right. This is from Sandra. People are following what they're doing in Australia. We should be flipping scared.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think you're absolutely right,
Quarantine,
Sandra.
Prisons and everything else.
I guarantee you 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago, if you told people in Australia, hey, you could be sitting in a quarantine camp or whatever because you didn't get a vaccine, they'd be like, no, and yet here we are. So keep your eye on the Polis thing. I think that's what he's really up to. Once again, of course, has nothing to do with health, has nothing to do with being concerned about Colorado citizens or their well-being. happening.
Politicians never do.
Right. It's just entirely politics, and it is a shrewd political move. My only hope is that this will make it, you know, harder for people, you know, like, again, Denver, who knows? Denver's just lost anyway, but make it more difficult for the Tri-County Health Department to continue to impose it. Because what? They said, oh, we all have to keep wearing a mask through January. I think all the time, fewer and fewer. And, you know, you'll see the problem they have, though, Chuck, and we'll kind of segue into media and talk about Chris Wallace, is they created this Frankenstein of media panic porn, right?
It's still there. And just go to MSNBC. Just go to CNN.
Oh, go to Daily Mail.
800,000 Americans died from this and blah, blah, blah.
You know, and every day they're still counting the Omicron cases, even though everybody even agrees. At the end of the stories, they always say, oh, yeah, nobody cares about Omicron because it's not going to be bad. In fact, it might be good because it'll get us all the herd immunity. But the media... And that's kind of the problem the Biden administration has. And even Polis, right? People, the media people at Denver Post, like, what do you mean? We like mask mandates. We hate people who won't wear masks. So now you're telling us we don't need them? We're in an emergency. We're in a chronic emergency. We must all be panicked constantly. And he's like, no, emergency's over. It's hard to get the media to stop doing that. And I think that's a problem Dr. Fauci.
If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. So, you know, just telling everybody they're going to die is always a way of getting them to listen.
And you're going to die of this, or you're going to die of that. It's just crazy. And Sandra, unelected officials telling us what to do, no way. Well, and that's what's happened, Sandra. People are just not doing it. And this is just my anecdotal observation. And you've got businesses saying, I'm not going to get in an argument with my customer, right? I'm not going to go fight with people about that. Some do, but most of them just don't say anything, nor do the people standing in line behind you.
It's just going to be very difficult now for the Tri-County Health, for Denver, and for all the, even the liberal counties, to keep up the mask mandate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And because in this, for instance, the reporter was quoting some text that came in, a question from some nurse who I'm suspicious of this, who claimed to have worked this ungodly number of hours in a COVID ward. I'm like, right. Sure. Remember like that fake nurse who was working at the COVID ward? Yeah. I mean, so I'm skeptical about that. But anyway, her question was, once she goes, I was working out at a Denver gym and I was the only one wearing a mask. Good. What are you going to do about that? And basically the governor said nothing. You know, I mean, he tried to say something like, well, we like our healthcare workers. And the reporter said, right, but what are you going to do about that? And he said, basically, that's what he went to say.
Stop working out.
Well, he went on to say, it's not our job to tell people what to wear. And then he did the coat analogy. If people don't, you know, if they get sick, if they're not vaccinated, that's our own darn fault, which is true, right?
Well, and let people make it's true, choice. But Democrats never say that. That's kind of a old time libertarian kind of view of things, but it was brilliant by him. But he's a phony. Unlike, let's say, Lamb, who would say things, he really meant it. This guy means none of those things.
No, and Dr. Donna, except no emergency was ever proven. Well, exactly, Dr. Donna. They keep the, I mean, that's why it's just panic porn. So anyway, so that it's just kind of interesting. And we'll see how, so far, the Biden administration appears to be doing nothing about it. I mean, they just, you know, they keep letting Dr. Fauci talk. He's like saying, and I don't know how long they're going to be able to convince people, okay, now you're going to get your fourth, you know, your fourth booster, your fifth booster. You had Pfizer coming out. First of all, you had Pfizer coming out, finally releasing some documents that showed an ungodly number of people, tens of thousands of people, had adverse reactions during their testing, right? And there are even deaths, right? But now they're saying, well, we think you're probably going to have a booster every few months. Sure, it's like, of course you are. You know, I would be thinking that too. It's like, I think people should buy me jewelry every few months. I don't keep them healthy. It's going to do just as well. I mean, it's worth a shot, right? It's got just as much probably impact on keeping you safe from COVID as not. But now let's talk about something else. Chris Wallace. I'm going to give Chuck credit. Just on Friday, we did a little bit of a conversation where Chuck was talking about this major sort of realigning of cable news shows. And boom, what does he do? He makes Chris Wallace quit over the weekend.
to the utter shock, we should have the thing, and disappointment of George Brockler. I mean, he said he's the best thing ever. I said, what conservative would say that
maybe George was confused or something. Sandra, this is what most people think. Good riddance to a POS. Well, yeah, I mean,
exactly. That's how all conservatives feel. And so I guess if you're pining away from Chris Wallace, where does it tell you exist on the scale?
You're like, well, the only person besides his mother. I mean, here's why Chris Wallace is gone. Having worked in the media forever and knowing how some of these contract negotiations go and things like this, this is what I think. Chris Wallace's numbers were terrible. He was being clobbered by the other network Sunday morning shows, right?
Clobbered by the cable Fox one, Maria Bartiromo, Sunday Morning Futures. She had 1.5 million and he had 1.2 million.
Meanwhile, the other show, the other network shows,
three and two.
I mean, it was like a third of them. He was completely, I think, out of step with the editorial direction of the news. And I can tell you, this is basically, if you ever go into the TV news business, this is what matters to the bosses. Younger, cheaper, hotter. Okay, that's what they look for.
That,
always.
That goes with women, really. But Chris Wallace. I mean, actually, for
74, not cheap and not hot.
Well, but he, you know, he looked fine for 74. He looks very young for 74. I mean, he has good hair dyes and everything else.
All I'm saying though is,
I think Fox liked him because management liked him. They liked the fact that we had got Chris Wallace, and they were happy with him because they hate their audience anyway. But he saw the writing on the wall,
right?
Too, it gets tiresome for everybody to hate you, and they were willing to pay apparently $8 million.
I'm going to call that we heard from. We worked with Peter Boyles in his column today. Chris Cuomo, who was their number one star, was only making $6 million a year. So there's no way they're paying Chris. I mean, Peter heard that. Now, I'm pretty sure Peter was not texting with Chris Wallace, so that was just rumor. So I think
everything's rumor.
But he's, and not only that, because he's not, keep in mind, he's not going to CNN. He's going to CNN Plus. I mean, that's their, you have to subscribe to that, their live streaming money.
And people won't watch CNN for free.
Why are they going to subscribe to it? I guarantee you. So they, you know, probably he called and said, hey, you know, and Fox, I mean, clearly he wasn't a competitive asset as far as they were concerned, because they let him go, nor do they consider him a competitive threat because they let him go.
But you keep on thinking that you know, there is. The Murdochs love
Chris Wallace. I'm not talking about
the So they wanted him. They wanted to keep him. They wanted
everything
else. But
I'm saying from a business point of view.
Well, from a business point of view, he sucked.
Oh, and Leo said, you're right, Julie. My phone just rang. It's Fox News. Hotter, younger, cheaper. Hold out for a little bit more, Leo. Don't send him a real photo ever. Send him one that's highly photoshopped. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Chris Wallace, I mean, when I saw Chris Cuomo was making $6 million a year, they're not paying Chris Wallace $8 million a year to go. They're going to pay him. They're going to give him like a trade out at some New York restaurant. No, they'll pay him more than that. But cable, CNN Plus, and it's not clear what he's going to be doing there, but I'll give him this. I mean, for him, I suspect, like you said, the writing was on the wall. It wasn't fun anymore. He's 74. I imagine he probably, there was a dance they did with him and CNN, and Fox was like, hey, look, yeah. I mean, it's a nice way for them to get rid of him, and everybody can say.
Well, I think it's different because everybody in New York knows each other, because I was in New York and Jeff Zucker knew Chris Wallace. And I'm sure at some point in the last 18 years, he said, I really admire your work. If you'd like to come over, just let me know anytime. And so I'm sure he said, I'd like to consider it. And he said, great, let me give you a proposal. And boom, it was over.
Right. And I think it says something too about the, wonder how long Jeff Zucker is going to be there. I think
that's his big problem, is Jeff Zucker is gone.
Well, it says something, I think, about the there've been a lot of rumblings, and this is gossip too, that CNN wants to kind of go back to more what its roots were, to get out of the opinion arena as so much and get back to that. And I think hiring Chris Wallace does sort of send a signal. I mean, it's not going to probably work. I mean, look at the Megyn Kelly experiment, right? She hated Donald Trump, made it clear she hated Donald Trump, goes over to whatever network she went to do the morning stuff. And she said every day, I hate Donald Trump, everybody. And everyone's like, we still hate you. You worked at Fox. We hate you. Failed miserably. And she was gone, you know, so maybe we can have to give Chris Wallace some podcast tips if he wants to.
Yeah.
But my guess would be he's going to kind of quietly
disappear.
Yeah, fade away, and maybe do a project every so often. This is what happens when they do that, when they say you're going to be in the special projects thing, right? Then you say, I need a photographer for my special project. They're like, oh, we don't have any today. Can you do it tomorrow? You're like, no, it's with the president of Ukraine. It's like, well, maybe he can do it on your cell phone. Can you? I mean, that's what. Probably not going to be that bad, but I imagine it's not good. So anyone who tries to spin it as a promotion and he's going to be making more money and stuff, no, that's wrong. That's not the way the business works. And I think it's good. I mean, I think it Chris Wallace was a poster child for DC Insider.
Really?
Who the heck cares anymore? So Chris Wallace can snag an interview with the Secretary of State. And I would say either on Trump or on Biden's administration, who cares? Does anyone actually believe anything they tell you anyway? No,
no.
You don't believe that. And you also know they're not going to go on the show.
If Chris Wallace, if he's going to CNN, will have to change.
Right.
Just like... what's his name on 11 o'clock? God damn it. He's already retired. Brian Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he started out as being more professional, more kind of left wing, but balanced. And by the end, he was just a big left wing hack. And
right.
You can just go through all of Nicole Wallace, whatever it is. If he's going to get into the culture, he'll have to be going in trashing Trump.
And
of course, he's probably happy to do that.
But exactly. But here's the thing, too. You look at the Fox Morning Show. I think it is interesting to wonder what's going to happen to that. Yeah, I think that that era is gone. Again, the other shows are the progressives, you know, so they're interviewing George Stephanopoulos is interviewing all the corrupt FBI agents and Steele dossier people. I mean, it's all just a complete joke. So you've got that going on. And if you're Fox, again, like I said, there was a time when people that would make news. You would want to hear what these government insiders had to say. Now, people are like, screw the government insiders. I don't care what they had to say.
Here's Donna, like, really, keep that high school photo on their business cards forever. I've got a executive editor who's always going, but this picture this person put out is several years ago. I go, so what? That's what they want. No one wants to see an older, uglier picture
younger,
of yourself.
Younger, hotter, cheaper. I'm telling you, younger, hotter, cheaper. Oh,
but it's not accurate. It's accurate enough.
It's technically, it's them. Younger, hotter, cheaper, I'm telling you.
When they were younger, hotter, and cheaper.
And here, so finally, another thing too, and again, want to remind you, hope, theoretically, we have Eric Adelman coming on Zoom, yeah, at 3:30, the Senate candidate. One of the other things I wanted to talk about today, a new ABC poll taken just last week has 69% of the people they surveyed disapprove, 69% disapprove of Biden's dealing with inflation, 61% disapprove of Biden with crime. Now, you're the one, you don't turn those numbers around. And I think
they're not the ones that'll kill him. The ones that kill him was that he was down for the first time on COVID, because COVID is what got him elected. And now even then people don't like him now. I mean, that's bad. When those numbers on COVID are heading down and you're still trying to do the usual bullshit and have the evil Dr. Fauci come out and just amazing. So he would be smart to get rid of the evil Dr. Fauci and get a younger, hotter model for that.
Hey, and this is from Leo too. This is good. Remember, any picture of you is of a younger you.
Yes.
Ooh, true. That's very zen. Very zen, except if you're in the Matrix, I guess, or something like that. Sandra, that's why they opened the southern border. They need those illegal votes. Yeah, but I tell you what, Sandra, we might start having some border closures because it looks like the Democrats are losing the Hispanic vote, right? So who knows?
They need to get all those people from Haiti in then.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen there? But I think it is interesting, like you said, I think. If you're a political strategist, and to tie it back into Polis, when the people are tired of COVID and that's never ending, they're tired of the panic porn, they're tired of mandates, they're tired of talk about vaccines. You know, you want to plan a vacation. You're like, okay, well, is there going to be some variant crop up that's going to destroy my life again? You know, do I have to keep my kid home from school when he's not really sick, but he has a bit of a scratchy throat, so we don't like have a whole school in quarantine? I mean, it's a nightmare, and people are sick of it. And I think that's what Polis did. And the Biden administration should call up Polis and say, hey, can we have your speech?
Could Trump please advise us?
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's what we've been saying forever. Just declare victory, right? Just say hello. I mean, you know, well, I think there's some conversation, and maybe Dr. Donna, you might know about this, that with the Omicron variant, which is apparently, once again, everybody's going to get it. And between that, the Delta variant, and then the original COVID variant, that you probably have more
the authentic,
you probably have more and more people who are becoming naturally immune.
Yeah.
And the more that happens, I mean, this is one thing that it's hard to find, but Dr. June Depp had a great column in American Thinker today about this. We'll have to get him on again, talking about the natural immunity, and that there are studies coming out all the time about that the natural immunity appears to last, at least it's lasted so far, right? They don't know how long it lasts.
Well, they don't know how long it's last, and they had one person who was like 103 years old who had gotten the Spanish influenza in 1919, and you know, all these decades after decades after decades later still had some antibodies for that Spanish influenza.
It certainly lasts longer than the vaccine.
Not only does it last longer than the vaccine,
right? It lasts longer than the vaccine. There are no other side effects. And once you recover, and in the meantime, you're also immune to the variants, it appears. So I think the more that happens, it's going to be, the media is going to want to keep trying to drag us all down with this. So this is from Dr. Donna. Natural immunity is the best there is and is usually for life. And Sandra, and all of us know this will never stop. There will always be a variant of a variant of a variant. People
well,
are not.
Is. That's what viruses right. are. That's why there's always, you get, and I get the annual vaccination from
and
from
I don't
and you don't so
well know. And this is from Sandra. You know, people, again, people are not buying it anymore, at least not the smart ones. No, I agree with that, and I think that's
and I didn't used to get it until we had Rev. And before I never got the flu, and then every year I got it, so I thought, wow, this is getting old.
Whereas I only had the flu once in my whole life. Well, twice, because we did both get the swine flu. I think I got it from you.
Yeah, you did.
But at any rate, I think, though, the Biden administration.
And that's when going to the hospital. Hospitals.
Yeah,
never
really.
Go to a hospital. They're dangerous places. And doctors will tell you that.
Okay. Oh, we've got Ben.
Well,
online
Ben, could you hold on a little bit, Ben? Because we're waiting for Derek.
Well, no, that's, we don't have Eric on yet. So we can.
No,
you're breaking up on me here a little bit.
Okay, Ben, hey, go ahead and, yeah, we might have to get you off quickly because we're waiting for Eric Auckland to come in on Zoom. But once we see him, we'll go to him. But in the meantime, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just out driving around here, doing some errands, I guess. I was hoping to, I see that you're going to have Eric Adlin on, I believe.
Right. Yes. Well, 3:30, we don't see him yet. You want to call back in once we have him?
Yeah, I'm heading home. Maybe I'll just and see if I can do that.
Okay, perfect. That sounds good.
Yeah, perfect. And I'll check my email. He was going to join us on Zoom. I do know he's running for Senate, and sometimes
I saw him announcing us on his.
He was announcing us. Yeah. So
promoting his appearance. So.
Okay. Meanwhile, oh, this is funny, Sandra. Like, you're probably getting healthier with Synagenix, I'm assuming, Chuck.
True.
So at some point, you may not need the flu shot. That's a good point.
There you go.
That's a good point. Well, you know, and it is just so ironic. They talk about obesity being the big problem, yet we don't require people to jog. We don't require people to, you know, do all of this other stuff. I mean, it's ironically, I agree with what Jared Polis said, right? If you want to go outside and, you know, get a...
Everyone agrees that has any brains. That was not his position as of 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Jacob says Polis is done with COVID because he is running for office and he doesn't want to spend any more than he did last election. Yeah, that too. But also, though, I also think, though, Jacob, this was... I mean, this is aimed, I think, at a national audience. I think I really do. I think Jared Polis wants to run for president. And
well,
I think this
yeah.
is the kind of thing that's positioning him to do that. Jared Polis doesn't need to do anything to win Colorado. I mean, I'm sorry. I love Greg Lopez and Heidi Ginnall, but unless something, you know, an asteroid hits the earth or something like that and strikes all the Democrat ballot
Maybe
harvesting operates.
Yeah. Bigger margin.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just think it's almost going to be impossible to beat Jared Polis. I think that this was designed to get him some national attention on a national level to make him seem reasonable because he kind of said all the right things. He's like, oh, you still need to get the vaccine. We just don't need to have a mandate. And so I think,
why don't you have our producer give a call.
We don't have a phone number for him. This is from Leo. So Dr. Donna says the flu comes in many variants every year, no way to know which. So they toss maybe forward and hope for the best. Well, exactly.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly. And I think the trouble with the variant is I understand it. The trouble with these variants is that you can't have the variant, the vaccine can only go to, well, wait, let's back up and remember what Michael Tao always tells us. And that is keep in mind that this was a virus made by Dr. Fauci in the first place. So let's just all start there. Okay. Never forget that Dr.
Fauci
and your National Institute of Health made the virus. Okay.
Right.
And so then
in conjunction with their partners from Wuhan.
Well, and Big Pharma, right?
And Big Pharma.
So Big Pharma
right.
then can come up with a vaccine, but apparently.
You mean Fauci, the puppy killer. Yeah.
Right. Only exactly. But they can only do it with the they can only have the vaccine for the variant, for a specific variant. So the way I understand it, they kind of have to wait for the variant to crop up, and then they have to go for that protein spike, whatever that means. And so, you know, if you're a pharmaceutical company, you're like, this is great because we're going to keep making these variant.
Government can keep on paying for it.
Right. I mean, we're going to keep doing this forever. And here's the thing, because again, because it's a government project, no one's in the end going to, if you're the big pharma company, you aren't actually even going to care if people get the shots. You just want to be paid for the shots, right? I mean, you got all these, if you're the health clinics and things like that, you don't care if people never actually come in and get a shot. You just want to get paid for having the shots available. And that's the way government works. And then everybody's happy, right? It all keeps going around. Leo says mRNA is specific for the protein spike where the J&J is based on the viral vector. Ooh, Leo, that's
really
very scientific. But I still think, though, am I right that they still aren't sure and the boosters don't last very long? And as it mutates, they aren't sure what it can or can't do. And again, does anyone believe this? No, it's not. I mean, if you can't believe anything they say, it's all just going to be, you know, you need to, like I said, you, the government need to pay us to keep coming up with vaccines for 8 bazillion variants. And we don't care if people get them or not. We just want to get paid for it. And somewhere years, decades, millennia from now, some, you know, advanced civilization is going to find all these little vials of things and say, what the heck was wrong with these people? It's going to be all these stocked up, you know, vaccines that we pay for, but no one gets.
Always get it back at number.
Okay. Got Steve Edwin line. So yeah, hey, I don't know. And we can talk about that later, Chuck. I don't know if Eric Avlin, if you're on Zoom and you want to come on in. If not, we should see you when you get in. This is also from Jacob. Robert Malone, creator of the mRNA, says the mRNA is not working as designed. Well, I understand it, perfect. It never worked as designed, right? And that's why we don't have the vaccine for it, right? Because it's never actually worked, is what I understand. I mean, that's been the problem all along. And which is why they didn't have it. And, you know, under the crisis, the emergency that was created, we all had to go along with this. Well, the other thing you wanted to talk about, we could do this too, because I'm assuming Eric is busy. So I think we should just move along.
Move along. Let's not dwell on it.
West Side Story.
Okay. I was brought up in Manhattan, at least part of my life. I was born in Manhattan. And so I went to see West Side Story when it came out in 1959 as a 9-year-old. Sad. Just a few years ago. And the West Side refers to the West Side of Manhattan. And if you go up past the upper West Side and into what's called Spanish Harlem is where there's a large Puerto Rican one. But the movie, the play, and all the story, the book,
Maria.
The lyrics, Maria. Mm-hmm. All I enjoyed the movie and so forth, or enjoyed the play.
Didn't it have Natalie Wood?
Natalie Wood, yeah. She was not a very good Maria, but it worked out great in the movie. But the whole thing's a joke. It's a bunch of Jewish guys, as is, you know, the theater, just like the movies dominated. All white Jewish guys running at the experience of Puerto Ricans in Spanish Harlem. I mean, it was just pathetic.
It's a good musical. I see we have Eric. Hey, Thomas, I see we have Eric. I'm in the waiting room. So if you want to admit him, we can grab him on.
So they made a new movie with new Jewish white guys telling about even more what Puerto Ricans feel like and so forth. They go, why don't they do Upper West Side Story? Because that's where they all know about and they know nothing about Spanish Harlem or what came before Spanish Harlem, which is Italian Harlem.
Hey, and we're going to have to save Chuck. I see we have Eric Adlin. And Eric, Chuck was just giving his... Go ahead and turn your mic on. I'm not sure if your mic is on.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I mixed up the time.
No worries. Chuck was giving his review of West Side Story, so.
Okay, well... I was 15 minutes off on my calendar. No worries.
But we got you now. So there we go. You know what? Let me start off because we've had some other candidates on. And again, if there's anybody in their candidate listening, we're happy to have anybody on.
We're thrilled to have Eric.
I just want to say, I mean, I don't want them to say if there's another Senate candidate out there, you're right. I just am saying they're welcome here too. But let me start off with a softball question. Okay. And that's just tell people about yourself and why you're running.
Okay. So I'm a husband and a father. I live in Jefferson County outside a small town called Pine between Bailey and Conifer, up in the mountains. Three little children, a seven-year-old, a four-year-old, and an eight-month-old, two girls and a boy. I'm also a West Point graduate. As an Army officer, I did two tours in combat, Iraq and Afghanistan. Then I left the Army in 2011, went into oil and natural gas with a company called Noble Energy. I spent about a decade with them. All over the country, all over the world, finished managing a $300 million project in Israel. I built a pipeline and a gathering facility as part of a $5 billion project that has made Israel a net exporter of natural gas. I left my company at the beginning of last year. Why did I leave my company? That's a complex question. There's a lot of things that contributed to that, but I was living on a plane. I was spending most of my time in Israel, and with three young children, my company offered me another project to manage in Israel, and I essentially turned it down. And then COVID hit, and Israel was locked down, so I couldn't access it. We basically shut down the project, and then oil tanked into the negatives.
Yeah.
And so my company went through a very tumultuous time. We ended up getting acquired by Chevron, and it was just the right time for me to leave.
Sure.
I wanted to do something more service oriented. So I was working on a master's degree while I was with my company, planning to get a PhD in depth psychology and become a counselor, with part of my aim being wanting to help veterans who've been traumatized by the war effort.
What's depth psychology?
It is the psychology of the unconscious mind. So it's not in mainstream, but it is one of the few psychological modalities that accepts the existence of a soul. So it fit with my spirituality. I'm a Christian, and I
can
was
you
looking
at Nancy Pelosi at all. I mean, because I'm not sure she has a soul. I mean, does it work, or is there a teeny soul in there somewhere that you can search and find? Or
I think it might be very difficult to find in some of our very corrupt politicians like Nancy Pelosi.
Let me ask you, and then I'm sure Chuck has questions too.
I think it is.
In terms of running, I guess here would be a question that I would want you to answer, because I think in order to get elected, the election integrity is crucial. And we hear a lot of talk about things, and we hear some even here in Colorado and on a national level saying, oh, it's all the gold standard, the gold standard, the gold standard. I'll just ask it open-endedly. What do you think about our election system?
I think that our election system needs a full overhaul. We need to get rid of mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
There is too much opportunity for fraud with mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
I think that has been exposed to a large extent across the country. I think that we absolutely need voter ID. We need our elections to be secure, but we need to make them accessible at the same time. And there are ways to do that utilizing technology. But at the end of the day, we've got to get away from any machines that are potentially compromised. There should be no machines connected to the internet. They should not be influenced by any outside agency. And we have to have people of integrity managing the election process. And so there is a lot of overhauls that we need to do within the election process, both in Colorado and nationwide. And we can see that the radical left is doing everything they can to undermine free and secure elections, which, you know, if we don't have one person, one vote, and the means to verify that, we don't have a republic. We don't have a functioning system of government that represents the people. And so election integrity is actually absolutely critical to who we are as a country.
Well, okay. How'd you manage to get on Peter's show if you don't?
Peter Boyles is a friend of ours.
Well, and Peter's a friend of mine, and I think he tries to avoid that topic with me.
Okay.
Us too.
And maybe that's why I haven't been on in more than a month, because I keep happy every month.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, you know, you're running a big field, and quite frankly, I think it's looking pretty good for a Republican candidate in Colorado for Senate. I mean, it's
no, Chuck, Michael Bennett is for forests and things right, like that, right. You know, and
he was even listed on the 10 most, you know, potentials to be overturned. So at least it's looking better and the polls are looking better and better for Republicans, but it's a dogfight in that Republican primary. You're one of 8 or 9 candidates. I think Eli Bremer is the one who's getting the most money from Phil Anschutz and all of the those establishment ones, and Ron Hanks has picked out the MAGA wing. How do you distinguish yourself from the rest of them so that you get to face Mr. Bennett?
I think that's a great question, Chuck, and it's one that I'm asked quite a bit, especially since the field, since I entered, it was 2 of us, and now there's 8 of us.
Yeah, Chuck and I are going to enter next week. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Hey, you know, more the merrier, and that's why I love this country. Anybody can run, and I never planned to run for political office. I'm not a career politician, but I love this country, and this is, for me, an act of service in a time of crisis, and I think there's no time for half measures, and that's why, you know, I'm running for the U.S. Senate. I do believe Michael Bennett is vulnerable. In terms of how I'm distinguished, I'm the only decorated combat veteran in the race. I know Ron Hanks has claimed to be a combat veteran. I don't know what his service looks like. You know, what I can tell you is I did 2 tours in real combat. And I was a tank platoon leader in Iraq, and I commanded a cavalry troop in Afghanistan. And I have the decorations to prove that people tried to kill me. So I've been tested on the field of battle. I'm also the only person in the race who has extensive energy sector experience. So I've managed teams all over the world accomplishing very difficult things, but I also understand energy policy. And right now, both our national security and our energy policy are being undermined by the Biden administration, including Michael Bennett. And that puts us in a very precarious position with respect to China, Russia, Iran, and all our many enemies. We are far weaker as a nation almost overnight. And everything I worked for in terms of making us strong from a national security perspective and creating energy independence has been destroyed, within the 12 months that Biden has been in office or sitting as the resident in the White House. It's unconscionable what's being done. No other candidate has my credentials of leadership. My 2 decades all over the world, leading multicultural teams to very, very high achievement is something no other candidate can speak to.
Let me ask you this. We've got a couple of comments. This is from Dr. Donna. Ron Hanks is a veteran. I think that's true, but I think you were talking about you being a combat veteran, just to clarify there. Sandra says you've always had her support, okay? But then she goes ahead and she wants to ask, would you vote Mitch McConnell out as a Republican Senate leader?
Yes.
There we go.
I mean, that's the short answer. And I know that you know, the politics of the senatorial committee and leadership of the Republican Party is something I'm going to have to maneuver. I think that Mitch McConnell in many ways has not served the American people. I think he is caved under pressure to the left. And I don't think he's what is needed as the Senate majority or Senate minority leader. I mean, it's a 50-50 split. But what we need is somebody who is going to uphold the Constitution. And that is my bedrock. I'm going to uphold the Constitution every time. My voting record will reflect that. And I'm honoring the oath I took to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Unfortunately, many of our enemies are within the gates. And
listeners like this, though. You've got to go, Eric, and all right. So
we have 2 questions, and you've really aced them both. And you get it's a 0 to 4-star thing on 2 on total out of 2 questions. Whether 1, you answer the question, If you don't answer the question, you just bob and weave and refuse to give the question, you get a zero for us. If you give us the wrong answer, but at least give us an answer, you say, I like Mitch McConnell, you get a one, and you get a two if you say you'd vote him out. So you got 4 stars.
Out of our two key questions.
Thank you.
For what that's worth, I don't know.
I'm sure it's your whole key to your whole campaign.
Yeah.
But let me, you've made the Constitution a bulwark of your campaign. What is it about the Constitution that you enjoy so much?
There is nothing like the U.S. Constitution in history. There is nothing that has championed the primacy of the individual ever before. No empire, whether it's Roman or Greek or anything, has made the individual at the forefront of the entire structure of our government. And the Bill of Rights and protecting the inherent, in fact, our rights don't come from the Constitution. Our rights are unalienable and they come from God. But no other document in history has captured those rights and made it so explicit that those are unalienable and nothing can compromise those rights. And I like to tell people that the Constitution is never suspended for any reason. It's not suspended for a pandemic, a war, or any other crisis. It is the supreme law of the land, and anything that contradicts the Constitution is automatically null and void. And we've forgotten that as American people. And we've allowed our rights to be taken, and we've allowed our power to be compromised, even though nothing in actuality can do that. Our lack of wisdom, our ignorance of the U.S. Constitution and our inherent rights as human beings is under attack like never before. And so I see the Constitution and the vision of our founding fathers and what Reagan called that shining city on a hill as something that is a reality if we, the people, don't allow our rights to be compromised and we don't allow our power to be taken by a government that is corrupted.
So you disagree with one of the great founders of the Republican Party, Abraham Lincoln, who suspended habeas corpus in the middle of the Civil War, even though he had no basis to do so.
I thought a lot about Abraham Lincoln, Chuck, and that's not an easy question to maneuver because, you know, we are often at the mercy of the times. But yes, I do think that in actuality, Abraham Lincoln maybe exceeded the rightful power of the presidency, and that sets a dangerous precedent and has set a dangerous precedent ever since.
Well, yeah,
And you disagree then with the Emancipation Proclamation?
No, I think that the Constitution, the Constitution needed to be rectified to address the travesty of slavery, and that needed to be done, and it almost took an extraordinary event to accomplish that, although we can argue that politics influenced Lincoln's decision in ways that maybe weren't necessarily grounded in morality or doing the right thing. I mean, he was trying to keep a nation together.
But you indicated that it doesn't matter in war and peace in other times.
The Constitution is never.
And Lincoln clearly did not believe that.
That's right. What I am telling you is that it's not so easy to there's something called presentiment, which means we look back at history and we try to apply our cultural values or norms now. It's like being an armchair quarterback. And what I would have done in Lincoln's situation, I can't say. I've never been in such an extraordinary circumstance.
But you can't believe in both. You can't believe the Constitution applies in war.
I am definitely not maneuvering.
No.
What I am trying to tell you is that looking back, you know, 150 plus years into history, it's hard for me to say what was necessarily right. It's like diagnosing whether we should have dropped the atomic bomb on, Hiroshima. But I would say that I stand firm. the Constitution is never suspended. It should not be violated. We should not allow the President of the United States to violate it, or governors, and we should not stand for unconstitutional mandates. And right, that and rests, that power rests with the people.
Right. And listen, I people, Sandra likes your answer. People like your answer. But we're running out of time. So I didn't mean to. So we can't torture you anymore with obscure political historical questions. He asks these of me all the time. So just.
He gave a good answer.
He gave a very good answer. Final opportunity. Where can people find out more about you and give you some help?
So my website is AadlandForColorado, AadlandForColorado.com. My website is filled with information. I believe it's the superior website of all the senatorial candidates. You can see where I stand on most of my positions. I have a ton of radio interviews, a ton of videos on there. So I think Chuck challenged me at the Adams County GOP meeting about my stance on the Constitution. And I thought about it afterwards. I was like, well, I didn't have time in my 8 minutes to tell you everything I stand for, but my website is pretty comprehensive.
We will have you back when you have time. Everybody loves you. At least
great job, Eric.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Right. Take care.
All right. Thank you to Eric. Thank you to everybody there on Zoom. Some good questions there. We'll analyze this later. We're out of time here. I'm sure we will get him back. Adlin for Colorado is the website you can go to. That'll do it for us.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you on Hump Day.